All right, guys, go on out, and we'll see you in a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and, let's go ahead and finish up this series today. I might. I don't know. This is number 4 in the Moving Forward series. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Title of this message today is, What Are You Looking At? And I don't mean like, what are you looking at? That's the question posed to you is a real one. What is it in your life that you are consistently thinking about, consistently setting or laying your eyes upon? I'm telling you, this all matters. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, we'll just review a little bit, but let's read from Proverbs chapter 4. It's been our foundation about the path of the just or of the righteous. Verse number 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light. You see that? That shines more and more into the perfect day. And what it indicates is this light should be increasing in our lives over time. The light should be increasing in us and upon us. And look at verse 19. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So that kind of says it right there, that the way that the wicked people walk in, there's no light there. There's no light there. And when there's no light there, they're going to stumble. I mean, if we turned out the lights in a room that had no other ambient light of any kind, and it was just pitch black. You've been in rooms like that already, and you're going, man, I didn't think it could be this dark anywhere. You ever been in one? You know what I'm talking about? Boy, I guarantee you, you better watch your step. I'll never forget the time that these guys thought they were really funny. I was working for a realty company in Milwaukee, and I managed a big building downtown. In fact, it was 265,000 square foot building, big building. Office building, and I'll never forget, we went into this one area, and the guy who was my immediate supervisor, he was over all of the buildings. I had another higher-up boss who actually hired me, who was a friend of mine, so I got the job. This man who was just above me and another guy who ran one of the other buildings in our company, we were going into this portion of our building. We were looking for something, and he said, well, go on in there. And I was like, okay. I mean, he was so innocent that I go into this room, and there was a lot of stuff in this room, stored in this room, and it was pretty dark. I don't mind telling you. And I get in there, and I didn't have a flashlight, and I'm supposed to be looking for something. And I forget now what it was, but it wasn't there. I mean, there was no light in that room for some reason. And, of course, we didn't have a flashlight. So I go in there, and I'm like, okay. And then when I came out, I've told some of you this story before. He goes, well, you didn't find it. I said, no, didn't find it. He said, well, whew, glad you didn't find the other thing either. I said, what's that? He said, I just saw a rat about that big in that room. That's why I didn't want to go in there. I'm like, you'd be glad I'm a Christian right now because... you don't know what you're stepping. I was like, thank you, Lord, for protecting me. What's a rat doing in there? I don't know how it got there. You know, you hear stories about stuff. Yeah, somebody carried it in, right? Yeah. No, but you hear stories about that. I was in downtown Milwaukee one day, and I had heard this stuff before, and I was getting out of the place where I parked on a, it was 5 or 6 tier outdoor parking, covered parking, you know, the things that you park in, the concrete deals. And I got out, and I was walking down, and I looked again, and there was a rat. This was right near the Milwaukee River. And there was a rat. I'm not kidding you. It's gotten bigger over the years. But anyway, it was big enough that you're not going to go, oh, you're so... No, it was get out of there. One of those that looks like it could catch you. You know what I mean? Anyway, let's get off the rat subject here. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. See, I never stumbled because I walked in the light and I was protected. And thank you, Lord, for that. I was reminded that Psalm 119, verse 105 says that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? Let's run another New Testament correlation here in Matthew chapter 7. Turn over there. Proverbs 4, we'll leave there right now. Go to Matthew 7. I want to show you something. I was looking at this morning early as I was going over my notes, and the Lord brought this up to me, so I thought I need to bring it up to you. In verse 13, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way." Straight is just a word that means narrow, a narrow passage. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And as I was reading that, the Lord pointed to the word gate, and I quickly looked at the original Greek on it. I didn't go back and find the Hebrew, but I had the Greek right there, and I pulled it up, and literally it meant the access or entrance into any state. It's a metaphor. The entrance or the access into any state. "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate," or wide is the access, or wide is the entrance that leads to destruction. And it just hit me. It was like, oh, wait a minute. It just outlines the character of God versus the character or lack thereof of the devil. The devil is a bully, and he will push you, and he will prod you, and he will, I mean, there are so many things before us as we go throughout our weeks. Somebody said, well, you know, I just can't seem to keep my mind on the Word of God. And I mean, there's so much before me. Well, this is what we're going to talk about today. What are you looking at? But the fact is, this speaks of how easy it is to go the way of the world. And that, in fact, there is a choice, and only those that choose the Word and choose the things of God are going to find that pathway. It is a narrow pathway. And there are potential pitfalls along the way. I mean, you're going through some rough territory, but the light of the Word of God will illuminate your path of life. So many times you and I want to see way down the road. Amen. And we'd like our headlights to be, you know, I mean, just light up the countryside so I can see 10 miles down the road. Well, physically you can't anyway. But the fact of the matter is we see what's before us. And the faster you're going, the less reaction time you have to what you do see. Amen. That's true. But. So often we want to see further than the light is shining. We want God to show us everything that's going to happen over the next year. We want God to show us everything that's going to happen over the course of the next 2 years or what have you. And we get all into that kind of mindset. I've got to know. Well, you know, you may not. In fact, most of the time, well, let me just say this. If you did know, what faith would you need that he's going to meet your needs and take care of you if you already knew ahead of time exactly how it was going to play out? What you have is a promise in the Word that says he'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You and I just don't know exactly how he's going to do that. And that bugs some people. Well, keep reading the Word. Keep fellowshipping with the Lord. Let your faith grow. He'll take care of it. Praise God, he always does. Now, go over to Hebrews chapter 10. So what we see here is that there's choice. If you're going to enter in at the narrow gates because you made a choice and you've got a light in front of you, because if you don't have that light shining, you're going to stumble. And the devil is such a bully, he'll push you into all this sin and stuff. He'll lay it before you. He doesn't play fair. He'll put this before you, put that before you. He'll try to tempt you here, tempt you there, pull you away from the things of God, use your flesh to do that. And before you know it, you're getting into an area where, man, you're on this wide path that's leading into destruction. What it points at is all the various types of temptations the enemy uses to suck you in. And he knows where your weak areas are, by the way. Not because he's so, all-knowing, because he's not. The only thing that he knows is what temptations have worked on you in the past. And he is a meticulous a bookkeeper of what worked in the times past. Yeah, when I threw that in front of him, he bit on it like a big old dumb bass on a lure. And he grabbed a hold of that and went with it, and it took 5 years for him to get free of that. In fact, this guy over here, he bit on that last time. He had this issue going. I threw that in front of him, and he's still hooked. So you have to be aware of the bait and the temptation and recognize you need to keep the word first and foremost and the light of God shining on a daily basis. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The just or the justified or the righteous or those that have received Christ into their hearts will live by faith. That's how we are to conduct our business on a day-by-day basis, is by faith in what the Word of God has to say. Faith in it. Faith in what he has said. The faith of Christ purchased everything that you and I have available to us. So his faith purchased it. You have to believe that what his faith did accomplished what it set out to accomplish, and you accept that. Can I hear an amen? That's how that works. Because you still have responsibility to grow in your faith. Otherwise, that would take all the responsibility off of you, and a lot of people like it that way. I don't have any responsibility. Yes, yes, you do. You have responsibility to get into the Word and let the Lord increase your faith. Paul prayed for the church that their faith would increase. And, you know, Jesus talked about people that had little faith, and he had talked about those that had great faith. By your faith, be it done unto you. I can say that to you today. I can say it to me. By my faith, be it done unto me. Well, how developed is that faith? By the development of your muscles, let's just put it this way, by the development of your muscles, you'll be able to lift that pedestal over there or something heavier, that sound in-ear system up here, or 10 of these chairs at one time. 10? You know how heavy they are? They're very heavy. I mean, you might be able to do that. I put 3 on my head one day. No, they're heavy chairs. They really are. And, you know, you say, why'd you put 3 chairs on your head? just because I thought it was a good idea, you know. And, I've always wanted to be in the circus. No, actually. No, it was the sin that stacks up in your life when you don't ask God to forgive you of it and get it out. If you do not forgive, Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Remember, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. There's a time God doesn't forgive Christians. When is that? When you refuse to forgive. That's why I've said to you so many times, holding a grudge is serious stuff. What happens? Okay, you're holding a grudge against this guy over here, and so that's like having a chair on your head, okay? And then you go along and you get upset with somebody over here who has nothing to do with this situation, but this is somebody that you've held on to a grudge against for a while. And then over here you have something, you go, Father, forgive me, that was wrong for me to act that way about this toward that person, your wife or your husband or whatever it may be. But because you refuse to forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. So you see how that can begin to stack up. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of people forget that and wonder why they feel like they're under such a burden all the time. Yeah, you're carrying around a load of sin, and it's all hinged on you still holding unforgiveness towards somebody. Get free of it. Amen. Let it go. You want to be forgiven yourself? That'll affect your finances. It'll affect your health. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect everything you do if you hold unforgiveness and bitterness. It is a poisonous root that will mess your life up big time. Amen. Anyway, Pastor Dan, that was really worth combing our hair and coming to church over today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter, so we read this, we see the just are going to live by faith. That's what we're doing. I'm running your real quick review, and then we're going to get to what we have to go, and we'll get you home and get you to the restaurant, wherever you need to go. Jeremiah chapter 7, we looked at this in the weeks gone by, but I felt like we need to touch on it this morning one time. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. Look at this. But this, I'll wait till you get there. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, this is what the Lord said, obey my voice and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. You want things to go well? This kind of goes back to that John chapter 2 where Jesus' mother Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And anytime you do what the Lord tells you to do, you're going to be all right. But look at verse 24. But they hearkened not. In other words, they didn't listen. Nor inclined their ear. They were not bent set on serving God. They didn't want to hear it. But walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went which way? Backward and not forward. Went backward and not forward. And if you look at the word imagination right there of their evil heart, it's literally pointing at the stubbornness of those people. And we, of course, have a witness in Israel, the Israel nation, when they went and came out of Egypt and went, they were on their way into the promised land, and they're out there not just a little while, but God just with a mighty hand delivered them out of Egypt, mighty signs and wonders. I mean, come on, they saw the Red Sea part. I mean, you and I, we can just come up with an imagination of how that must have looked. They were standing right there on the banks. They saw the Nile turn into blood. They saw how they had light in their dwellings, and it was, you talk about pitch black, it was pitch black in Egypt where the Egyptians were at. They saw how they were infested with lice and frogs everywhere, but there was a line that stopped where Israel was at. They saw the power of God work on their behalf. They saw what was going on. And I mean, it culminated. When they left out of Egypt, they had a bunch of jewels and stuff. I mean, they went out of there loaded down. Amen. So they get out there. And they're out there just a little while. And what happens? They start, you know, it wasn't so bad back there. Now, they're forgetting about the taskmasters, the whip. All they had to do was reach back and feel their back a little bit. And they had scars, many of them, from the whippings that they took. See, they had some selective memory here. And I mentioned to you that Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible tells us in that verse, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, write it down. You need to hang on to that one because this is something that every one of us are tempted to do from time to time. It says, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? When you imagine on that, when you think on that, when you inquire in your thoughts about that, it says, you're not being wise. In other words, don't be talking about the good old days. Because every time you do, you turn from going forward and you start going back. I remember. That doesn't mean you don't remember some things. And there were good times in the past. I remember things when I was a boy. I remember some really pleasant times. But isn't it amazing how we remember the pleasantness of it and we are so quick to forget the bad things that were going on? It's always selective. Bible says you're not very smart if you're engaging in that. Okay, so be very, very cautious of that. The Lord doesn't want us looking back. Jesus said it this way, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God or to do kingdom work. I'm going to tell you this much right now. You disqualify yourself if that's all you're ever doing is looking back to see what's going on. You can't look back, okay? He doesn't want you looking back. He wants you pressing on and looking forward. Amen? That is the truth. And I'll tell you, you can avoid a lot of trouble if you do that on a consistent basis. But the devil tries to romanticize the whole thing. Don't you remember? Don't you remember how fun that was? How much fun it was when you did this and you did that? And he never brings up the the bad stuff. You say the devil doesn't bring up the bad stuff? He's bringing up stuff that's trying to hook you into a mindset that's back there and not pushing on. You know, I have some memories we've joked about them before, like the day I was at Wyatt's, and it was pouring rain, and I was trying to be cool, and I ran out the door, and I hit that slide, and it was wet, and I slid right under the car. That is not a pleasant memory. Pastor, you're not wise. You know, but here's the thing. I learned from that. Don't run down a step or a thing like that, you know. You don't know what it's like to hit the ground and like this, and you got the bottom of the car. What made it worse, there was a whole sorority in the lobby watching me. So that's all right. I can take it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. So sometimes memories from the past are funny. So you have some funny memories of things. I've got more, but I won't tell you anyway. But be cautious on how you go about that. I was serving the Lord at that time. I was living for the Lord. I was already filled with the Holy Spirit, loving God, functioning in the ministry. Sometimes we do foolish things. Genesis, yeah. Genesis chapter 2, let's go here. We're going to take a look at this business of this tree in the garden. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 16. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, I have a couple questions to ask you. First off, what do you suppose, why did God have a tree that was forbidden? Number one, you don't have to answer me, but just pose these in your thoughts for the moment. Why did he have a tree that was forbidden? Why did he place it right there in the middle of the garden? And then why did he tell them, you know, he tells them about it, and then he tells them, don't touch it. It's kind of like, wouldn't it have been better if it was just a secret somewhere? And, you know, I was like, but it did say that it was fruit that was pleasant to the eye. Amen? So I've looked at this many times, and really as I look at this portion of the word, it really just all points to choice. It's pointing to choice. You have a choice. In this life, everybody has the chance to make a choice. And that's really what you have to get out of this, is that everybody has the chance to make a choice, and you get to show your true colors throughout this life. Either you're loyal to God or you're disloyal. You show your loyalty or you show your disloyalty. You will show your colors in this lifetime. Amen? Throughout life, you will reveal what you love and what you don't love, just in your actions and the way you conduct your life. We can take a look at any one of us in here today, and if we could follow each other around with a camera and a recorder, you'd figure out in a hurry what that person loves and what they don't love. What's important to them and what's not important to them. Amen? What they want to pursue and what they don't want to pursue. Oh, yeah. It's exposed. Everybody has a chance in this life. But the sad reality is that a lot of people just flat don't want God. They don't care. It's just not that important. We'll go to church once in a while, but don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me to read my Bible. I'm not the one asking you. The Lord's the one who said that you need to put the word before you daily. He's the one that said you should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that people are going after will be given to you if you seek him first. He'll take care of you. He's a good dad. Amen. But somebody came along and said, well, you know, there are people that just didn't have a chance. They never had a witness given to them. Let me tell you this much right now. Psalm 19, verse 1 says that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. You realize that? And you know that in the stars that are above us, those stars paint the picture of the word of God and redemption. There is a message in the stars. Now, hold on before you run with that, because I've been seeing some posts of late on Facebook that have gotten some really goofy ideas about stars. We're not talking astrology. Astrology, in other words, being able to predict the future based on what you see in the stars, based on the sign of Cancer. Oh, yeah, really, that's what you want, right? Taurus the bull. I am a bit of a bullhead. No. When you start turning and looking and following those stars and then trying to interpret things on the from the stars, and it's called the horoscope, you have now stepped over into a place that's not of God. The stars paint the picture of creation. God painted it in the sky. There's some good books on it. Let me just point you to one. Marilyn Hickey wrote one about the stars and how it paints a picture. Now, you do not, and I underline, do not look to the stars to find out what's going to happen in your life. That's called a horoscope. That's called astrology. Astronomy is the study of the stars, not the interpretation of what the stars are saying to me about the future. And you go to some person who uses the horoscopes. I mean, where do they come up with this junk? Those are familiar spirits that get involved with that. You stay away from that. You ought not to be reading horoscopes or get involved in any of that kind of garbage. It's trash. It's not the Spirit of God. Never has been, never will be. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Dan. Yeah, I don't need to hear that, but I'm telling you, that is for us. We need to know that. You stay away from that stuff. But so somebody will say, well, they never had a chance. The heavens are, all you got to do is take a look around you. I mean, go outside and take a look around. You're going to tell me all of this happened by chance? And this human body was put together by chance? It's the most intricate thing in existence, you and I. Created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. The Greek reads that you are an exact duplicate in the way that you're put together. We have the character of God. He put us together. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We are three tripartite beings, three parts, spirit, soul, and body. It just so happens that God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three, but they are one. You have three parts, but actually you're one, right? Now, I'm not telling you you're God because you're not. And the Bible says, and Jesus quoted, he said, know ye not that ye are gods? That word means a magistrate or one given authority here in the earth. That's what that means. He never called us deity. Nobody in here is deity. You have deity living in your heart. Yes. Yes. And he's the one that has saved us and set us free. But here we go. So in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2 here, you see that there's that tree put there. It's there, don't touch it. You make the choice. You could look at this as a type of the tithe too, and I've preached that before because it is in a lot of respects. You're told not to touch it. But here you go. So in chapter 3, what happens? Look at verse 6. Genesis 3, verse 6, here it is. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, underline or circle the word saw. Make note of that. She saw it. That the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. But I want you to notice that she saw it. What were they doing standing in front of that tree? They were told to stay away from it. So what do? They walk up to it and are looking at it. What are you doing? Oh, we're just looking. Why are you just looking? What are you looking at? Why are you standing here looking at something I told you to stay away from? Here's the thing about that. When you begin to look at something, guess what happens? Looking fuels desire, does it not? Oh, yeah. I've been looking at some, I look at stuff, and I thought, well, maybe I should go out and buy me an another gun, you know? I mean, like, or I should go buy this, that I think I need this tool. Guys can get sucked into that in a hurry. And ladies, I won't even go down the road that you get pulled in on. But, you know, whatever, because I don't really know. I have some ideas, but I'll kind of avoid that. But anyway, you know, you look at it and you keep going back to it. What happens? You start thinking about it a lot, don't you? Man, I don't know if I want that 40 cal. I might want that 45. Oh, I fool with that. Get a 50 mag, praise God, you know. You start looking, desire starts to come. This can work in a good way, and it can work in a bad way. And then desire normally leads to action. Have you ever heard these sayings, and people have said this before, it doesn't hurt to look. Huh? Anybody ever hear that or say it? You've heard it, I know you have. It doesn't hurt to look. Or here's the other one that people throw out there and use. You can look, but you can't touch. Show me scripture for any of that. Ain't there. No scripture. There's no scripture that says you can look, but you can't touch. Oh, you say, well, the Lord told them. He never told them to look. He knew that if they stood there and looked at it long enough, the desire would be fueled and they'd act on it. He never told them that they ought to go and look. Just don't touch it. That's kind of like saying, you know, don't look at me right now. Okay, we won't. Don't want to anyway. You know, don't think about a big red dog right now. Clifford, I know Clifford, right? Anybody remember Clifford? Don't think on this, you know. I was driving down the highway one time. Have you ever looked at somebody when they yawn? It's probably not a smart idea for me to do that for you right now. But I was driving down the road, and I'd been driving a while, and I looked across, and this guy's driving. He's yawning big. I yawn for the next 100 miles, man. Like, don't do it. Just don't do it. And I fought it all the way down the road. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? You know, I said that this can be done in a good way, or it can be done in a bad way. Why do you suppose people get hooked on pornography? Because they keep looking at it, and it keeps fueling what they're seeing and the desire, and suddenly they get hooked, and they're going, I can't get free. Well, first step in getting free of that junk, you say, why are you telling the church this? Because it's a temptation. It's a temptation the enemy throws out there, in particular to men. The thing about that is, if you recognize what the enemy's trying to do, he's trying to set you up in subtle ways, set you up in things. First thing you got to do is stop, just say, okay, I'm going to avoid every opportunity and recognize, be smart about the opportunities of how the enemy could try to play that on you. Okay, so then it's like, okay, I'm going to avoid that. I'm not going to go over there by myself. It's always good to have accountability, okay? And limit yourself not to looking just a little bit. I don't mean that. I'm saying limit yourself to a certain amount of time on the computer, but not by yourself, if that's an issue. Those are just some practical things, okay? Because looking, the Lord knows how that works, that process. David looked. And when he first saw Bathsheba from his porch or wherever he was at, looking down, he sort of gone, oh, man, that's a married woman down there. Go back in and go and seek the face of the Lord. And what he did, he stood there and went, oh, man, where are my binoculars? And it led to trouble, man. It cost him a child. It's terrible stuff that transpired as a result of what he did there. But what you look at can either pull you into in a bad way Or if you're looking at the Word of God, the Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God, man, I mean, things can change in your life quickly. Adam and Eve proved that they believed the devil more than they did God when they stood before that tree and decided to gaze at it. Oh, it'll be okay. The Bible's real plain about that. You can't get close to a fire or take fire into your bosom and not get burned. Well, amen. Thank you, Lord. That's right. I'll just see how close I can get to, you know, to our fireplace at the house. We have a gas fireplace. And it's got, it has glass, you know, over the, it's behind glass. Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't try to just barely touch that glass when that fire's been going. You touch that, you'll squeal like a stuck pig. Ow! Yeah, I mean, I bumped it one day. Oh, my goodness, that thing is hot. It's probably 1,500 degrees. Let's just see if I can just barely touch it. Stupid. It won't work. Let's see if I can just, you know, I'll look, but I won't touch. I'll just get closer. I'll just, you know, I won't. The devil plays people that way. Be cautious what you put before you. If all you are ever doing is looking at things that have nothing to do with the Word of God, that's where your desires and your attention will be pulled. So, all right. Whatever you look at, you'll desire. You can starve desires by not looking. You can feed desires by consistently looking. You say, how's that? Well, I thought we weren't supposed to. You're supposed to get into this. You're supposed to get into the Word. Look at the Word. What's the Word say? Spend time in the presence of God. Spend time with Christian brothers and sisters and have fellowship. That's important. That's why this business with shutting the churches down, like the enemy had his hand in that business, has been so devastating. It's terrible. Any Christian that can't see that that's not the plan of God, if they can't see that, they're not listening very closely. That's not God's plan. I mean, and the way that this censorship thing has started to progress, that's another thing. I mean, I saw it, I think, Paul, you or Karen put that on, that thing about the YouTube and the Facebook. Well, just go on there and you'll be able to open the churches again soon. And there are places where the churches still aren't open. And I'm sorry, I'm not really sorry. I'm sorry that the churches aren't open, but it's been Democratic governors that have shut these things down. Hooked to a party that kicked God out on purpose. No. That's why we open these doors. I mean, we had a few times where we were doing it with just a few people, but we opened them up quick. Praise God. Let's wrap this up. Turn to Psalm 63. What are you looking at today? What are you looking at in the Word? Whatever it is that you're looking at is going to build your faith. Amen? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. Psalm 63, verse number 1 reads this way, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm going over here to get my water. I just thought of that. And I'm thirsty and I'm in a dry, parched land up here. Thank you, Marvin. This is very kind of you. I have me a bottle. That's Psalm 63, verse 1. Flip over to Psalm 84, verse 2. Psalm 84, verse number 2. I can read verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. What is the psalmist saying right here? He's saying, I want God. I want the Lord. I want to have some time with Him. I'm telling you that, you know, if you spend enough time with the Lord, your desires begin to change. How many of y'all have ever experienced that in your diet, in what you eat? And you say, you know what? I need to stop eating this. And that can be a tough one at first. Or I need to stop drinking soda. And you go in somewhere and it's like, oh man, that looks good, soda. You know, or, yeah, and you keep driving by the donut shop. Oh, I'll just go by for a little bit and take a look. Turn around, go back, and then go through the parking lot real slow. Look at them. I'm going to go slow. You downshift and you slow down a little more, and then you swing around and you keep going by, and finally you get up the guts. Man, you're right in there and you've got yourself a big bag of greasy donuts, and you're eating those. And greasy, they have to be greasy. You kept driving by looking at that. You kept driving by looking at it. And then you started thinking about it. And before long, you gotta be paying attention to what's before you. What do you think about most of the time in your days? Well, Pastor, I have a job. I have to think. Your job is to think of the Word of God. You think I'm not tempted to not think of the Word of God? I'm just like you. We're just people who have to make choices. I just have made a choice. And I continue to make choices. And every day you're making choice. You're making a choice right now to either hear what I'm saying or go, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I can tell you right now, I know what I'm talking about. So, you saw in Psalm 84, verse 2, one more time, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. We need to desire the Lord. And when you desire the Lord, you're desiring his word. John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 14 goes on, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him in his glory. Words to that effect. If you're desiring the Lord, you're desiring his word. And the two mesh perfectly because Jesus and his word are one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we are told to desire, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk, you hear me, of the word, or the pure milk of the word. I'll just leave you with this question. What value do you put on the word of God today? What value do you put on the Word of God? Some people don't see any value in the Word. And they frankly think you're a little bit off your rocker for going to church. Have you ever heard people say, in fact, I had a guy who claimed to be my friend. And he knew I was a preacher, pastor. Oh, he got bent out of shape at me one day. And he was working at his job. Working at his job, waiting on us. And he said, you Christians. And it's like the tone changed. And I thought, I ought to bust you in the chops. That was my thought. Okay. So I had to say, Father, forgive me. I relate to Peter pretty well, actually, because, you know, I may not be the biggest man alive, but I know how to even the score anyway. But you have thoughts, fleshly things, and you go, no, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that. He said, you Christians, go ahead and stand to your feet. You guys have been sitting long enough. You Christians, you use that, your Christianity, your Bible, this Jesus. I mean, he got nasty as a crutch. I said, buddy, there's a crutch, all right, that every person needs, because there's coming a day when every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess, whether you believe or not. And that's when I found out this guy didn't believe in Jesus at all. He had kind of acted like he did, but he didn't. I said, there's a day coming, you're going to bow your knee, whether you want to or not. But, partner, at that moment, it'll be too late. If you're being forced to bow your knee, it's too late for you. You will bow your knee. You might as well do it now. But there will come a day when you will do it, whether you think you want to or not, or you agree or not, you will bow your knee, and then you'll be cast out of the presence of the Lord. And then it'll be too late because, you know, somebody said, well, there's always tomorrow. You don't know that. Man, Wow. You know, I live for today. Or, you know, I just live for the moment. I do whatever I feel is the right thing to do in the moment. Last verse in the book of Judges, the Bible said, every man in that day did what he thought was right in his own eyes, and it was evil in the sight of the Lord. This idea that you can do whatever you want to do and think however you can do that, but I would suggest you think after the things of God, think after the Word. Amen. Amen. That's not a hard thing to do. It's just choose what you put before you. Amen. Choose what you put before you. Well, we just parted our ways there, you know, and I was initially, I don't like people doing that to me, especially when I'm a paying customer. You hear me? It just happened to me a month or so ago. Somebody just got in my face down at the bank and just decided they don't want to help me because they know I'm a Trump supporter. So I went and talked to the boss, and I said, you know, I could get that individual fired. I said, I don't want you to do that. Do not fire them. I said, because I think that person is just having a bad day, and I'm going to cut them the slack. Oh. So, that, you know, you have to forgive, because if you don't, you start stacking chairs on your head, man. You don't want that. Bow your head with me. Let's go before the Lord right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that we are not people that will hold animosity, hold grudges, hold on to things against people. We you know, Lord, we're going to just push it aside, ask you to forgive us if we were wrong in any way, and we'll forgive them, and we'll just move on in you. And I praise you and thank you. Right now, every one of us in here, Lord God, are in the same position of potentially needing to forgive some people and do it over again because the enemy brings up things they did to us again and again and again. But Lord, we decide to put your word before us, to drive out those thoughts, to drive that junk out of our pathway. We want the bright, shining light of the word to be illuminating our pathway so we don't slip off into the ditch. So I thank you today that as we move forward, we're going to be very cautious and attentive to what we're looking at and what we long for and long after. I praise you and bless you this day for this making a difference in our thoughts in the name of Jesus. And we bless you, sir, and we give you glory and praise, honor, and thanksgiving, Lord, that your word is dwelling and living in us. In Jesus' name, if y'all can agree, say amen.